Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text has been read. We'll read just two verses again from Luke 24. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The first Christian sermon ever preached was a word of law and a word of gospel. Adam, where are you? The law in Adam's conscience had done its work. I heard your voice, and I was afraid. And then God spoke to the devil, but the message was really for Adam and Eve, about their special descendant named Jesus, for God says, the seed of the woman, he shall bruise your head, Satan. Can you imagine the relief that Adam and Eve sensed with that first promise that there would be a Savior? The gospel was not lost on them. For when Eve gave birth to her first son, she names him Cain, the one gotten from the Lord. And she seems to think that this is already the one who would be the crusher of serpents, the promised Savior. I have gotten a man, the Lord. Many of us here are here today for the Reformation lectures, which are focusing on preaching through the ages. Some of us are also here for the organ anniversary weekend. These events fit well together. We gather to commemorate the Reformation, which refocuses our attention on the Word of God, on the proclamation of law and gospel, with emphasis on the comfort we receive through Christ our Lord, who lived, died, and rose again for our salvation. This is exactly what Jesus says in our text, in his sermon to the Emmaus disciples. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. That proclamation, that preaching, is also the central message of our hymns, our Lutheran chorales. Repentance and forgiveness, the blessings of law and gospel proclamation. It is also what we just sang in the hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. Preaching can be a lot of things, can include a lot of things. Sermons can teach us the doctrines of Scripture. They can guide us in how we live as Christians. Sermons can review the catechism. They surely will focus on the life and work of Jesus, our Savior. All of that has to do with repentance for the forgiveness of sins, because all of that directs us to Christ and to heaven. When Jesus preaches to his disciples on the road to Emmaus that first Easter, he points them to the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms, the holy scriptures of the Old Testament. And he says something about those scriptures that is either the most profound and most comforting of all, or the most blasphemous and condemning of all. Jesus says these Old Testament scriptures are about him, the Son of God. He claims to be the Son of God. He says he is the Son of God by quoting these passages. All things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. The Word of God points us to Jesus, both Old and New Testament. Martin Luther once said, all scripture drives Christ, urges Christ, promotes Christ. Christ is the message of scripture. From scripture, Jesus preaches about himself as the fulfillment of scripture, as the promised Savior. This is exactly the same message that Peter preached that first Pentecost. It is the same message that should be preached regularly in Christian churches all over the world, especially in Lutheran churches where we treasure those truths of grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, Christ alone, to God alone be the glory. There's a famous painting of Martin Luther preaching. With one hand he's pointing to the Bible, and with the other hand he is pointing to Christ on the cross. Proper Christian preaching is based on Scripture and points to Christ. If we look at the best Christian sermons, we see our sin and we see Christ as Savior. If we look at our best hymns, we see our sin and we see Christ as Savior. It's not just in the poetic words, but in the deep thoughts about our sinfulness, drawn from words of Scripture themselves, so that we recognize our need for Christ. Psalm 51 says, "In sin my mother conceived me." Psalm 22 says, "O God, my God, I cry to you in daytime, but I do not hear, you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent." And we just sang these words, "Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment day, night and day, in sin my mother bore me. Yet deep and deeper still I fell, life had become a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me." Those are scriptural words from the Psalms and scriptural truths that urge us to repent of our sins. Every day and every hour, we sin, even in ways that we cannot know. In case we have forgotten, God gives us the Ten Commandments as a catalog of his demands and our failings. Honor God, honor your parents, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not covet. We have committed all those sins in our hearts and more. Like Adam, we must be afraid of God, and we even try to hide. But God is all-seeing and all-knowing. Our only solution is repentance, sorrow over our sin, and seeking God's grace alone. And God is gracious. God is merciful. This was Jesus' proclamations to the Emmaus disciples also. He tells them that what he did to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies was to suffer and rise again from the dead the third day so that we might be saved. This is proclaimed in Isaiah 53. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." The prophet Hosea says, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from the death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction." And we just sang, "He spoke to his beloved son, 'Tis time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to man salvation. From sin and sorrow, set him free. Slay bitter death for him, that he may live with thee forever." Here we find forgiveness of sins through the compassion and grace of God the Father, who sends his Son to rescue us, and his Holy Spirit, who brings us that message and gives us faith through his holy sacraments. "For he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Eat and drink for the remission of sins." What are your sins? What are your worries? What are your fears? Whatever they are, the answer is Christ, who destroys sin, delivers from death, and defeats the devil. He brings forgiveness for all your wrongs, comfort for all your sadness and worry, strength to be alive in faith, and thankfulness to God, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter. This message is for all people, as Jesus says, "Repentance for forgiveness of sins to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations." We sang that as well. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice. Surely that joy and rejoicing is the point of this all. As forgiven children of God, we speak joyfully, we sing joyfully, we live joyfully, because God's own Son joined our human race, bore our sin, and grants us eternal life with him, even though sometimes our joy must be in the midst of sorrow. Jesus spoke the law most boldly and clearly. He could read people's hearts. Jesus also spoke the most joyful message of the gospel many times and urges us to rejoice. He says, "There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Jesus gives us peace, peace of mind, peace of heart, peace of soul, the peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that the world cannot understand, but it's a peace that the world cannot take away from us. We can learn preaching and teaching from many examples through the centuries, and we should. We can learn from some of our hymns that are also like sermons. We can learn from the sermons and writings of Peter and Paul, from the prophets and apostles, because they are words inspired by God. We can learn from the sermons and preaching of Jesus himself, who is the Word of God and the promised Savior. We learn to trust and have confidence in his forgiveness. We learn to have joy and sure hope of eternal life, because his righteousness is our righteousness by grace through faith. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice in the wonders God has done for your salvation. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.